I'm reading from the King James version of God's Word, beginning at, verse number 1, chapter 2, verse number 1. I may read the entire chapter, I may not, but there are a couple of things here that we want to focus in on. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is not judged, or is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. We thank God for the hearing, for the reading of his word. For those who are worshiping with us for the first time, you know, over the last few weeks, we've been really focusing in on understanding better the Word of God as the Holy Spirit teaches us to discern and really have the deeper meanings of what the Word of God is conveying to us. We understand that we can get all kinds of Bible dictionaries and all kinds of concordances and all kinds of biblical aids, and they can be very helpful. I mean, they can help you understand the history, the background, the context in which things were written, what was going on, the climate of the environment. They can help you understand the history, the progression of a people and the things that occurred. They can even break down, if you get the Hebrew and the Greek lexicons and so on, they can break down the meanings of different words. But we're learning that even when we get the Hebrew and when we get the Greek and when we get the Aramaic and when we get the different languages in which the Bible was written, we still need the Holy Spirit to give us the depth and the breadth of what the Word of God means. Because we understand that we can have an etymological understanding of a word, how the word was used, where it was used, the language it was first, all of these things, and they're important. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit to give us revelation and understanding. All we know is a lot of words. Amen. And then we are understanding better that even when the Holy Spirit spoke, the only words that were available to his hearers, those that would write the scriptures, were the words that they were familiar with. That makes sense, doesn't it? Even though it might sound a little elementary, it's important. If I have fifth grade education, because there are some people that aren't smarter than a fifth grader, you know? But if I only have a fifth grade education, unless I'm an astute reader, my vocabulary is limited. Amen, preacher. And I can only use the words at my disposal to write whatever revelation I receive from God. And whatever level of education I have, whatever words I have available to me, I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit moving on my heart, moving on my spirit, on my mind, then I can write or I can say using the words that are at my disposal. Does that make sense? We've got to have the Holy Spirit to give us understanding to even what the text says. Amen. And so through this process, we've been looking into a host of scriptures, and I'm not going to go over them because that would take all of my time. I do encourage you, if you desire, to get copies of the messages, and you can hear them and read them. They're also on our webpage, I believe. They're loaded as Deacon Tanya has the opportunity to get them out there. I heard some of last week's message this morning, so I thank you, Deacon Tanya. I know it's out there. Amen. And so last week we looked at Isaiah chapter 54. When you get a chance, go back and read it. We saw how even God, when he's angry with his people, he's always seeking to comfort us. And we saw how God spoke to his people that he was bringing them to a place as they walked with him where they didn't even have to fear weapons that were formed against them, because God made the one who made the weapon. God made the stuff that the weapon was made out of, and God has power and authority over them and over anything that they can create against you. So God wanted his people to walk in faith. He wanted his people to trust him, and he wanted them to know that God's protection as they walked with him, every tongue that rose up against them in judgment, he said they would condemn. Their walk with God would condemn it. Their trust in God would condemn it. The life lived in righteousness to God would condemn every tongue that arose against them to judge them. Then he says, for this is the heritage of the children of God. And my righteousness, their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We understood that heritage is our inheritance. It's rightfully ours by virtue of being sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so we left being encouraged that we could walk with God assured that he would be with us, that he would keep us, that he would bless us, and he would protect us. Now we see in 1 Corinthians, fast forwarding, that the Apostle Paul is really saying essentially the same thing. He's saying that when I came to you in Corinth, I didn't come with enticing, with eloquence. I didn't come with big words and enticing words of man's wisdom. You've heard some of those people. Great orators, great speech givers. But when you really dig into what they're saying, if there's no substance there, they can wow and woo a crowd. But sometimes you can sit back, and when you play this thing over in your mind, you say, wait a minute, that ain't right. Wait a minute, that's a little off. I know the crowd got excited, but no, it's something wrong with that message. We don't have to go far to see that. You can just turn on your TV, turn on the news, and you're subject to hear somebody at some rally, at some place somewhere, saying all kind of foolish, nonsensical stuff that the crowd is bobbing their head and shouting and yelling and screaming, and you're sitting there thinking, what in the world is wrong with him or her? And what is the wrong world is wrong with this crowd that's behind them cheering this foolishness, this hate, this anger, this twisted stuff on? But Paul said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. I wasn't trying to get you all worked up with your emotions. I didn't want you to buy into something that was off and twisted and skewed and in error. But I came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and in the power of God. Why, Paul? Because I didn't want your trust, your faith, your confidence to be in those words. But I wanted you to put your faith, your trust, your confidence in God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's where we are today. The only thing that's going to support us, the only thing that can sustain us and keep us and put us over in life is the Word of God. Doesn't matter how eloquent the preacher is, how much he or she can wow us and get us excited and get us worked up and get us into a fervor, if it's not the Word of God, it will not stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word, God says, shall never pass away. It will abide forever. So Paul wanted the Corinthians, and he wanted us to know that I'm giving you the Word because it is this Word of God that's going to keep you. It's going to teach us. It's going to build us up. It's going to edify us. It's going to mature us into the persons that God purposed and desired for us to be. And when we're hearing all kinds of voices speaking to us, we're hearing Satan's voice. We're hearing the people around us. We're hearing their voices. We're hearing people's opinions, and we're hearing their own agendas coming forth. We need to know that we have a sure word that's an anchor for our souls, something that we can stand on. That when the winds of adversity in life blow, when the trials come, when we're tested, when the enemy throws everything he has at you, you're anchored, you're standing, because your life is built on a sure foundation. Isn't that what Matthew wrote in Matthew chapter 7? He says, there's one who built his house on the sand. The winds came, the winds blew, the waves came, the rains came, and that house fell flat. Then there's another who built his house on a rock. And when the winds came and the floods came, descend upon him, that house withstood those vehement winds because it was built on the right foundation. God wants his people's lives to be built on the right foundation. It starts with Jesus Christ and a right revelation of who he is. So young people, as you're serving in ministry and as you're growing, continue to grow in your knowledge of who Jesus is. You remember Matthew and in Gospels, Peter was asked, the disciples were asked by Jesus, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some said you're Jeremiah, some said you're Elijah, one of the other prophets. Then he said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. Jesus' response was, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of John, or Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. In other words, you couldn't get this from man. You couldn't get that out of a book. You had to get that directly from the Father. And he says, upon this rock, this truth, this revelation, I will build my church, and the very gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Peter got an understanding of who Jesus was from God. Not from his peers. Not from what people were saying about him. Not even what the prophets of old had written. He got this revelation from God. And brothers and sisters, we need God, the Spirit of God, to continue to reveal to us more and more of who Jesus is. And what his death, his burial, and his resurrection accomplished for us. Some of us have been sitting in church all our lives. Some of us are newcomers to this thing called church. And I like church. I think I probably always liked church. When I was growing up, I liked church. Except for those Sundays when I took off to go play basketball with my crew in the morning. I would be in church. Or those Sundays that I was singing with the choir. But I just like going to church. Some folks don't like coming to church. Some of the kids, you have to make them come. And they be, oh, gotta come to church again. And it's boring. And it's this and it's that. Well, the process of church for some might be boring. The programming might be boring. The execution for some might be a little boring. But there ain't nothing boring about Jesus. There's nothing boring about God and the love of God and the power of God. So one of the challenges for us as God's people, we've got to understand, how can we do this thing the way God wants us to do it, to get the excitement the way the people were excited? You cannot read the Gospels and not see people excited about Jesus. Some were angry. But most of the common folks, the everyday people, they were excited. They would follow Jesus out into the wilderness and didn't take a lunch. Huh? You know, we got to pack a lunch. Some of us, we're going on a trip for one day. We pack 3 suitcases like we're going out the country for a month. Somehow, we ain't going nowhere but to Petersburg. We still got to take a lunch. Well, you got to take a lunch to Petersburg? I don't know. Traffic might be backed up. I can't get nothing to eat. I got to take my medication. I get cranky if I don't eat. But these people follow Jesus all the way out in the wilderness with no food because they were so caught up in the wisdom and the power, the word, and the signs that he did. Ain't nothing wrong with church. We just got to get back to doing it the way God did it. You read in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is full of excitement, where God is turning the world upside down. People are being healed and delivered and set free. People are being converted. A man got tired. Paul was preaching all night long. Poor kid fell out the window. Fell out the window. Paul was preaching. Y'all think I preach long. I don't preach long as Paul. Paul was preaching all night. The kid got sleep. Fell out the window and died. They went down there, raised the boy up. Then they said Paul kept on preaching until the next morning. I ain't pulled one of those yet, but not yet, Deacon Steve. But I don't know. I might get that stirred up. And I might say like the old folks, just say, Katie, bar the door. See, everybody don't know about that one. I still ain't figured. All I hear, you so old folks say, Katie barred the door. I ain't figured that out yet. What was Katie barring the door for? Now some of y'all looking at me, where did that come from? Anybody ever heard Katie bar the door? Not many. Okay. All right. So anyway, let's get back to the text. So what we need to do is we've got to learn how to understand more of who Jesus is and the power and the authority in him and in his name and in his blood. And when we walk in that power and authority, you don't have to worry about people being excited. You don't have to worry about people running to church. There are some folks that stand in line at some churches to see certain preachers that they like. And they'll get there early in the morning and they'll stand in line and they'll wait to be seated and they'll run in the church when the doors are open because they want to hear this preacher, see this preacher, or they're in need of a miracle and I've traveled a long way to get that miracle and I'm going to get what I need if I can just get in here and let so-and-so call my name out or lay hands on me or blow on me or whatever they need, prophesy to me, I'm going to be all right. And they put their faith in that, and many of them get their healing, their miracles. Unfortunately, many don't keep it. But when we ever get in the true power and the presence of God, we will receive. And when we are changed in our thinking, we'll be able to keep what God has given to us. So Paul says, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not trying to wow you. But I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and in the power of God, because I want your faith not to be in man's wisdom, but your faith in God's power. Amen. Brothers and sisters, even today as I'm speaking and for the next few minutes as I speak, the Spirit of God is moving on us to believe God. And as I'm speaking, I want your faith to be in the power of God. Those of you who've been in the Word and you believe that God can do anything but fail. Those of you that believe that all things are possible with God. Then believe Jesus. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Today, believe God for his power to meet you in your seat. Right where you are, and to work in your life, even as the Word of God is going forward. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's look at it quickly, and then we will wrap up. He says that, I'm speaking to you, verse number 6, among them that are perfect, them that are mature. Yet, not the wisdom of the world, nor the wisdom of the princes of this world that comes to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The wording there is very important. Because Paul reveals to us that God has hidden these things away for us. These hidden things, these mysteries, these things that people can't understand unless they're operating by the Spirit of God. It's for our glory. Folks, can I tell you that this whole journey of humanity in our understanding God is about God restoring, putting his glory on man. Christ in you, the hope of glory. John chapter 17, Jesus saying, the glory which you have given me, I have given them. It's about the glory. It's about the splendor, the majesty, the brilliance, the character of God manifesting on his people. That's what this journey is all about, that we will shine forth like him. Amen. That the world may see him in us and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Beholding him, 2 Corinthians 3:18, as in a glass. We are transformed from glory to glory into the same image, even as by the Spirit of God. It's about God putting his nature, his glory, his person on us. So these revelations to mature people, those of us that are growing up, being perfected, so that we can say, yes, Lord, show me your glory. Yes, Lord, manifest your presence, your character on me. You remember Moses? Moses said, show me your glory. Moses said, I ain't going, God, unless you go with me. I can't do this by myself. I need you with me. I need to know that you're for me. So God, you're going to have to do something for me. Show me your glory. says God hid him in the cleft of the rock and passed by him, declaring, the Lord, plenteous in mercy. The Lord showing him his goodness. It's all about the glory. Thank you all for your patience. So he writes, none of the princes of the world knew this, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would never have crucified Jesus had they known that he came so that they could have God's glory. Never would have crucified him had they known that he was the only way that they could receive this life, this eternal life, this glory of God. But, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's quoting from Isaiah, I believe. I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, nor had it entered into man's heart the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So how can we know? But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. That's how we know. That's how we know. You and I will never know the abundance, the riches of God's grace and his goodness towards us apart from his Spirit. We will never know how much God loves us. We will never know all the great plans that he has for our lives. We will never know how much he wants to lavish his love and goodness upon us apart from his Spirit abiding in us and teaching us all things and leading us into all truth, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. He will teach us all things. He will bring to our remembrance the things that Jesus has taught. He will lead us into all truth, right? You have an unction from the Holy Spirit and you know all things. We'll never know. The world can never know. They don't understand the church. They don't understand the kingdom of God. They don't know who Jesus really is. They can't understand the true and the living God. So it's no way they can know all the wonderful things that he has prepared for his people. And we won't know them either unless we get them by revelation from the Holy Spirit. So we can sit in church all our lives, brothers and sisters. We can sing good songs. We can have a good time. We can shout. We can fall out. We can roll in the floor. We can walk over the pews, or we can weep and cry and sit still. But if the Holy Spirit isn't teaching us and we're not meditating and spending time with him, we will never know all that he has for us. And yes, we can leave here and go to be with the Lord forever and have missed out on the wealth of the presence of God in our lives, the ability to heal and be completely restored, the ability to get us completely out of debt and to make us the lender and not the borrower. In Jesus' name. The ability to cause us to excel in wherever we go, in education, in government, in private practice, in business, whatever we do, the ability to excel because God is with us. Amen. Young people, don't miss out on that. God is with you. God is for you. He doesn't want you to fail. He hasn't created you to be a failure. He's created you to succeed. He's created you to soar. He's created you to climb upon the heights. He's created us to be overcomers, not to be trampled over. He's made us to be successful, and he wants you to know that. Amen. Wants you to know that. In the play yesterday that was written by another young lady and Sister Rodriguez, I think what I read, I may have it wrong, but I read there was another contributing author. It might have been you by yourself. But it was a wonderful play, These Are the Women We Come From. And they had different characters portraying a different type of woman that shared some of their stories. And as they shared, by the way, Sister Rodriguez, God bless you. And she also produced it as well. You know, she can be hard too. I just want y'all to know. These are the women, but excellent, excellent, that we come from. And the various characters gave their portrayals and so on. And then another one of our own, Sister Rainbow Bracey, had a character where she was a woman in school in the early 60s. And as one in the early 60s, I went to this assembly and expecting some great speaker to come in. And here comes a little white Jew. She said, guess she said rabbi, so I figured he was a rabbi. I assumed he was a Jew. He comes in to address the crowd, and of course she's kind of put off because she's wondering, what does this little man, what can he tell me about the civil rights movement? And then as she heard his booming voice, he began to talk to them, the students, and lecture them concerning their ability to soar and to achieve. And he used the example of these two farmers. And of course, I may not tell it right, but I'll tell it the best I got it. These two farmers. And it happened that this eaglet, this baby eagle, fell on one of the farms. And this farmer took the little eagle and began to feed it with the chickens. And the other farmer, the second farmer, came. He says, that's not a chicken, that's an eagle. And the man said, I bet you that I can make this eagle act and conform to the ways of the chicken. And my understanding, the man says, a chicken is a chicken, and an eagle is an eagle. And the man said, well, okay, let's make this bet. You come back at a certain time, and I'll prove to you that I can condition this eagle to act like a chicken. So he fed the eagle what the chickens ate. He put the eagle in the chicken coop with the chickens, let the eagle walk around with the other chickens. And sure enough, when the second farmer came back, here's this eagle clucking around and scratching in the chicken coop like the chicken. Now, I'm not going to make those chicken moves like she did. That's not the way I flow. That's just not the way I roll, you know. So. But I can just tell you, she did a great job clucking around and scratching in the chicken coop. But you won't get a demonstration from me. So here's the baby eagle clucking around in the chicken coop, scratching and fat and all that kind of stuff that chickens do. And the second farmer is astonished that this chicken has conformed, or this eagle now has conformed, being conditioned to act like a chicken. And finally, so I can't do it like she did it, and the farmer took up the little chicken, put it on his arm, and said, now fly. And the chicken just fell off. Boom. Eagle fell off, just started clucking again. So he said, well, maybe I didn't do it right. Picked up the eagle again, put it on his arms. Come on, eagle, fly. The eagle fell off again and went back to clucking around. Okay. Finally, he picked it up this third time and put it on here and said, you are an eagle. Fly. And said, the eagle fell off and it caught a wind, and the wind took it and it flew away. Was that okay, Miss Rodriguez? Did I do okay, Sister Rainbow? Sister Rainbow Bracey, stand up and let them see that you... This is the one who did it. I didn't do it quite as well. Come on, you're taking too long. Congratulations. You did a wonderful job. And the point of that story was that people, situations will try to condition us to conform to the ways of our environment. But the point is, you are destined to soar. You are destined to succeed. You are destined to be great and not to conform even to your environment. God mentions the eagle 35 or more times in Scripture. they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God says, I will renew your youth like the eagle. God expects his children to soar. God expects his children to do great things. God expects his children to rise high above the mess. High above the mundane. High above the wickedness of the world. And to soar high like God has created us to soar. Young people, don't be conditioned by your friends. Don't be conditioned by even your living environment. We don't always have a choice where we live. We have to live where our parents live. Some places are good, some places are bad. But can I tell you, no matter how the surroundings are, we can begin to transform our space. Come on, somebody. I can start with my mind. And I can be transformed in how I think. I can have an attitude change. I can begin to say, this might be where I am, but this is not who I am. This is not my destiny. And I can start by changing my ways and my attitude and my thoughts and my speech. Then I can start clearing out the junk around me. Then I can start cleaning up my bedroom and making sure that space is a safe haven where God can fill the place with his glory and with his presence. Then I can go through the rest of my house in mama room and daddy room when ain't nobody home and say, the blood of Jesus be all in this place. The Spirit of the Lord dwell in this place. Lord, create in me a sanctuary in this place. Then I can start walking up and down my streets in my neighborhood and claiming them for the glory of the Lord and pushing out the drug dealers and pushing out the crime and pushing out the wickedness because I'm claiming territory for the kingdom of God. Then I can go in my school and I can go in my workplace and I can start anointing the doorposts and anointing the chairs and claiming this as holy ground for the true and the living God. Then I can even come up in my church and I can start declaring my church the house of the Lord, where the glory of the Lord fills this place. We are able, more than able, to transform our environment. We are not thermometers. Well, make sure I get it right. We are not thermometers. All a thermometer does is gauge the environment. We are thermostats. We set it. We set it. We set it. We set the temperature. We set the environment. And it's time. It's past time for the people of God to get in our place and do what God would have us to do. Well, here's my last couple of points. We're moving down last few verses. He says to them that God reveals these things to us by his Spirit. Wonderful things. Glorious things. Amazing things. You read 11, 12, 13 whenever you get a chance. I'm going to stop right here. Which now we have received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which of God, but the spirit which of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Brothers and sisters, we have the Holy Spirit. Now we are able to know the wonderful things that are freely given to us. And one of the things we learn as we grow, God isn't stingy. That's right, man. That's right. Amen. God isn't stingy. God will lavish his love, his abundance, his grace, his goodness, his favor on his people. Amen. The Bible says where sin doth abound, grace doth much more or super abound. God isn't stingy. God's going to pour it out on us. He's going to lavish it on us. As we say all the time, as long as you and I have the faith capacity to receive it, God will keep pouring. The oil will keep flowing. We just got to keep our capacity big. We got to have a big vessel. Many vessels. Just keep opening high. Fill me, God. No, I got some more space, God. Enlarge me. Stretch me so you can fill me some more. Remember last week from Isaiah 54? You're about to break out on the right and on the left. God says, stretch yourself. Let me stretch you so I can fill you some more. Then let me, you know how we do with these bellies. I thought I'd make it practical, you know. Amen. Thought I'd make it practical, right? These bellies will stretch. You keep stuffing stuff in them, they'll stretch. You keep stuffing food in it, it'll stretch. That woke some people up, didn't it? Yeah. Well, let God stretch our faith containers. So that he can keep filling us to overflowing with his love and with his goodness and grace. Last couple of verses, brothers and sisters. Here we go. Verse number 13. Which things also we, Paul says, we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We are a spiritual people. Having a human experience. Though the world says it the other way around. We are human beings having spiritual experiences. No, we are spiritual beings having human experiences. And God wants the spirit man to dictate and inform everything we do in life. So we've got to know and discern comparing spiritual to spiritual. And the only one who teaches that is the Holy Spirit. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. You know, some of your friends don't understand even why you do what you do. Why do you pray so much? Why do you go to church so much? Why do you give so much? Why do you sacrifice so much? Why are you talking about Jesus all the time? Why are you doing this? Why? They can't understand. It's foolishness to them. Some of them will, you know, they'll placate you. But they still have some questions in their mind. I don't get it. It don't take all that. I'm not doing all that. They can't understand. But he says, he writes in verse, he says they can because they are spiritually discerned. They're judged by the Spirit. Right? They're judged. The only way we can do this is by the Spirit, to know them, discern them, understand them. Verse number 15, you only got two more verses. Y'all been so patient. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Young people that are spiritual, older folks, we've got to start judging things, not judging people. Judging all things, all circumstances, all situations. We've got to step back and say, Holy Spirit, show me what's really going on here. Any of you ever made any mistakes just because we didn't take the time to really submit it to the Spirit of God? I know I have. It sounded good. I might have even reasoned it through in my mind. If I do this and if I do this, this will work out and I don't know, we wait. But did we submit it to the Spirit of God and to our spirit to really show us what's the motive? What's the intention? If God knows the end from the beginning, God, how is this thing going to turn out? And how do you want me to progress or to proceed rather so that things will happen the way you want it to happen? We got to start doing it that way. We got to start doing it that way or we're going to keep messing up. We're going to keep falling short, brothers and sisters, and we won't reach the mark that God wants us to reach. But if we submit it to the Holy Spirit, he'll navigate us around the traps and the tricks of the enemy, the schemes and devices that Satan is setting for us. And I'm praying for you all as you continue to pursue counsel, because I know that, to your point, sir, yes, God is involved in politics, but we've got to make sure that we don't let the politics change and corrupt us. Amen. But that we go there, or you go there ready, as the Spirit leads you, to really be effective and impactful for the good of mankind, of your constituents, and certainly which will serve the greater good. Too many of our friends, people we know personally that are involved in politics, they got swept up in the system. Amen. They got swept up in the game. They got caught up in the way things are done, and they, you know, compromise, and I gotta stop. But y'all know we can't even play the game like them, right? It don't work the same way. Ain't that right, Brother Joey? It don't work the same. You can't even play the game. They'll rat you out. So the best way is to do it right. Do it with honor. Do it with integrity. Do it to glorify God. Whatever we do, in word or in deed, do it all unto the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm laughing because I just got tickled. Because, you know, some of us, I mean, Christian folks, good people, we don't mess with folks, we don't do nothing crazy, but we'll cheat at cards. And we're playing against family and friends, and we got to cheat to win, you know. You know, it's a simple thing because it's among friends, it's among family. But we gotta be careful that we're doing everything with integrity. If I win, I win. If I lose, I lose. But I'm not gonna cheat. Cause somebody told me one of them old words of wisdom from mama, if you lie, you steal. And if you steal, you cheat. So last couple of verses. So we got to judge things spiritually. But then he says, yet he himself is judged by no man. Because we're submitting to the Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us, to correct us. When we get off course, when we get off track. And we're not judging people to condemn them. We don't have that right. Only God has that right. We can judge behavior, but we can't then condemn a person even because of their behavior, because God hasn't condemned me or you. And then the last verse. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Who is it that's teaching God? Who can inform God of something he doesn't know? That's absurd. No one. Who can instruct God? Who can counsel God? You know, God had to set Job straight. You know? Job, where are my counselors? Where were you when I formed the earth? Who can instruct me? Who is my counselor? If I could make a mistake, who knows it and who can correct it? I'm paraphrasing. Nobody. But we have the mind of Christ. Glory to God. Brothers and sisters, you and I have the very mindset of Christ. We have the ability to know, to discern rightly, to perceive, to understand, to learn, to grow, to accomplish great things if we will walk in it. We know right from wrong. We know when the game is being played. We know when people are scheming. We know when they are conniving. We know when there are ulterior motives that aren't right. We have the mind of Christ. Now let's walk in it. Let's rise up and begin to appropriate that knowledge for success in school, in business, in government, in whatever arena that God places us. Let's thrive. Let's succeed. Let's rise for the kingdom of God. Young people, do your best at all times. And God will help us. God will strengthen us. He said, yes, God will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. And we will be effective ambassadors for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Somebody give God a hand of praise today. Quickly before we close, any questions or comments in relation to the word today? Any questions, any comments related to the word this morning?